right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Christmas special, specialty special. And we're glad that you're here this morning. More people are coming in. And what I thought we'd do is we just start with in prayer, just pray for our service and pray for unity, pray for those around the world. And I'll just open this up. If you want to pray out loud, go ahead, and then I'll close. So, Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you we can remember that you came to earth, that you came as a human and became one of us, Lord, and that was something to be reckoned with. Something that the world was not expecting, but you came. And we can remember that. And we ask as we have fun today that you would remember, and we'd also remember what you've done for us at the cross. Thank you again, Lord. And we ask that again that you bless the service, that you bless this time, and that you would be glorified. We worship you in spirit and truth, unified as a congregation. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome again, family and friends, to our Christmas special. We have lots of special things to show you. And couple things is there is no Sunday school today because we have a drama and we have a special. We want the children to join us. Now, you see a lot of activity right now, and that's not because people hate announcements. They're getting prepared for our next phase of our special. Coming up this Wednesday is our last Awana for this year, and that'll be a Christmas party. It'll be a little shorter. It says there's treat afterwards, and parents are encouraged to come to that, and it also says please bring treats to share. Also coming up at the end of this year is our Faith Walkers Conference, our National Faith Walkers Conference, at least the West Side. And if you're interested in that, there are brochures on the table and also at the entryway that you can pick up to look find out more information. That's coming up December 29th through the 31st and is in Des Moines. We are also having a more traditional service. This is definitely not going to be our traditional service today, but next week we'll have our more traditional service. Please bring friends and family and invite people, and Dean will be leading that time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's as far as the... We are going to have some conferences coming up for next year. There's a women's conference coming up in February on 15th and 16th. It'll be our regional conference, and it's going to be hosted here. So people like coming here, which is great. We love them coming here, and then we don't have to go somewhere else. So that's what's great about it. And we'll be hosting that that conference. So this that'll be a fun time. So more information to come about that. Finally, and as part of our time here, we have a drama that's going on. And so one of the things, there's just some safety reasons, things, there's a lot of running around, which you can expect with Scooby-Doo. And so we ask that you keep the not get up, up and down a lot, and try to stay out of the pathways and out of the doorways, because there's action that's occurring, and we just don't want anybody to get hurt as you get plowed down by a monster or something. You know, could happen. Anything can happen. We just want to be careful that that doesn't happen to you. So with that, I think we are ready. No, we're going to do our offertory. So I'm sure that you didn't expect to see that today. Where else can you see Scooby-Doo and Kris Kristofferson together? Only at Glen Arbor. And I learned many things from Scooby-Doo. For example, that the ghost can appear in the same place twice. And then also that the coast might not always be clear. So those are the things I learned from Scooby-Doo. Thank you for that. What we're going to talk about, though, today is the song a little bit. And what we learned not only from the play, but from the song particularly. It was written by Kris Kristofferson. He wrote this, as we know, we learned from the gang, he was an actor and a singer and a songwriter. And he was a very powerful song that he wrote called Why Me, Lord? And it touched many, and including Jim Fulmer was the one that first brought it to my attention and asked me, could we do this song? It was sometime in the summer. I thought, where can I fit this in? And so we did, as you can see. So he recorded that song in 1972. That might be before some of you were born. And then by 73, it became the biggest of his hits, and biggest of his career. Kristofferson had become very well known by the early 70s. He's more in the country and western genre. He was a massive success, and I'm going to list some of the songs that he's done or written. For the Good Times, Me and Bobby McGee, Sunday Morning Coming Down, Help Me Make It Through the Night, and many other songs. He had a hit with his own as well, with Loving Her Was Easier, but the big one that he recorded as a recording artist was Why Me, Lord. The song features, the initial song that they recorded under features his then was going to become his wife, and also other, like Larry Gatlin was also part of that team, and he, of course, went on to become a great singer and songwriter as well. So the story behind the song is even more powerful than the song itself. And what I want to share is that we face something, either some crisis like he did, either acute or chronic. Yeah, I'm just going to move this so I can see you guys. There we go. Either acute or chronic, and ultimately, at some point, puts us on our knees. So, and as it did for him, the question is, what do we do with that? What do we do with that when that happens? Do we go to the things that make us feel better, to our crutches, or to our to the things that make us comfortable, or go to the one who was born years ago and who can answer the question, why me? Let's pray, and then we'll finish off here. Lord, thank you so much for the service. Thank you so much for the players and also for the song. And just ask that you'd help us learn something from this, that you would talk to us specifically. Maybe there's something in our life or something we need to change or something we need to come to you. We ask, Lord, why me? Why did you die for me? Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. So what I thought I'd do is just go through the lines of the song. And this is the first line. He says, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you?" And in the vernacular would be, you know, in the country way, it's loving you in the kindness you've shown. So as we said, this first verse, Chris K., I'll just say, rather than say Christofferson each time, had fame and fortune, but he said he was not happy. So one day, this is a shortened version of this story, he went to church, and as he describes it in the summary, and a friend invited him. He was feeling kind of, you know, out of it. Like, boy, I have fame. I have all these things. I'm an actor, a singer, a songwriter. I'm famous. I have everything I could ever want, and I'm not happy. I feel alone. I feel like I'm missing something. I know that I'm not right with God. And during the service, they have an altar call, and whatever the preacher said, according to him, he felt like he had to get up. He felt like someone else is getting up. He says, "I'm not getting up," but he felt himself get up. So he got up, and then he went to the front. He realized, as he says in the beginning, he says, he realized he was a sinner and needed Jesus. What he could not believe was that even after Chris felt he had rejected Jesus, that the Lord would come and die for him anyway. Because he had done that. He felt like, I'm going to follow the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my own thing. And he couldn't believe it. It says, "Why are you choosing me when I have rejected you?" That's what he's saying in the beginning of the song. And particularly with a verse like this, where it talks about, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So Chris realized what was true. He says, everyone sinned. I'm one of them. Why would you choose me? What have I ever done? What did I ever do? And then we look at, there's three answers here in these next three verses. And in continuing in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Ephesians 2, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." And then this very famous verse, which you might see on sports channels, someone holding it up, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So there are three answers to his question, "Why me, Lord?" And I think there may be others. And here's the kicker. The "why me" question, that's the issue, is the "why me" question assumes that there's a possibility of worthiness when there isn't. So it says, "Why me, Lord," as opposed to somebody else. Well, the assumption is that somebody else could be worthy enough. And that's just not true. If all have sinned, none are worthy. So if the answer to the question is, "Why me?" it's, "Why humanity?" That's what we kind of struggle with, is that there's got to be someone better, like, you know, Mother Teresa or some other great person, a saint, you know, that is more holy than me. And it assumes that salvation comes from us and our actions, but it can't. And so the three answers are all based on his character. The first one is, it's a gift, right? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He gives gifts not because they are deserved, but because he loves us, right? So it is a gift unrelated to our efforts. When we give gifts to our relatives or friends or our family, we don't give them because they've done anything particularly to deserve those things. It's because of our love for them. It's the same is true of God. It's based on God's love, his total love. If it was based on our worthiness, we're doomed in comparison to God. It is given irrelevant of what you have or have not done, what you own, or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's irrelevant of who, of what we've done. So what did he do? What did he do? What did he do? What is the gift that we should accept it. And so the next question I have is, why Jesus? Why me? Why would me choose Jesus? And that's what he's saying in his chorus. Now, he says, sings his chorus three times, and we're going to focus that. So he's asking the question, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. And I think he's talking about his life. I've wasted my life. Here's a guy that has fame and fortune. He has everything that anyone has ever wanted, and he's wasted it. That's the way he feels. He's wasted it. It's like, this didn't do anything for me. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. I know what I am. I'm a sinner in your eyes. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. He's placing it at his feet. His eternity. He's choosing Jesus. Chris Christopher said he almost felt like he would be a person that he was compelled to go. Like it was almost a different person that was going up. And that whatever the preacher said, the preacher said to him, do you want to receive Jesus? And he said, I don't know what that means. I don't even know what that means. I just want the pain to stop. So what did Jesus do? Preacher answered his question for him. So, and we're going to answer it today. What did Jesus do? Why should we pick Jesus? And in the summary, we're going to say this is because of what happened on Christmas Day. Because for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. This is from Isaiah 9. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He became one of us. God came to earth in the form of a baby. That baby lived a perfect life and paid the penalty we deserve. Chris Christopherson had it all, but he put that aside for what Jesus could offer, which was peace. Let's see if I remember to put this quote up. Is the modern intelligent mind, which has at its horizons widened in dozens of different ways, has got to be shocked afresh by the audacious central fact that as a sober matter of history, God became one of us. That was J.B. Phillips. He was announced by angels and stars to shepherds and wise men, predicted by prophets, born in the poorest conditions, brought in the greatest glory, humbly by humanity and by its own required need to be saved. Our Savior was born on that day. But what did he save us from? He saved us from ourselves. Jesus grew up and went to the cross and paid the penalty we deserve. Why me? Because of his love. Why Jesus? Because he is the only way. He is the only choice. In Acts it says, and there is no salvation by anyone else, in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given under men by which we must be saved. And continuing in Acts, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him. This is what happened to Chris Christopherson. He saw his need, and he accepted salvation by just believing. The last thing we'd ask her, so we said, why me, why Jesus, but why you? Why should you accept this? And this is what he answers. You know, he's gotten a little older here. He says in the second verse, he says, try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all that I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on the way back to you. Despite that it happened so long ago, people are experiencing changed lives, even today. In this verse, it says, this will be written. You know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. The people yet to be created are you guys. You have been created. Here you are. We of the future time realize thousands of years later Still, we need him. Many others have been changed by the saving grace of Christ, born 2,000 years ago. This goes on to affect others, and so on and so on. Like what Chris K was saying, was changed because a friend invited him to church. So Chris, in his song, asked, "Okay, Lord, use me to tell others. I have been through a lot, and you took me through it. You accepted me, and used me to tell others. Let your light," here's a verse that kind of suggests that, Jesus said this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And people's lives are changed by this combination, an encounter with Jesus, this truth, and faithful heart. And you can be too. And I want to close with this last verse. This is from the Christmas account in Matthew. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. This is the angel talking to Mary. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as we close, if you'd like to, we're going to just pray and ask the Lord, if you'd like to receive his gift into your heart and you haven't done that before, the gift of salvation by receiving this gift, then just pray with me right now. Let's all bow our heads and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that question, why me? Why did you die for me? I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this gift, this Christmas gift. Lord Jesus, I remember how you went to the, you came to earth in the form of a baby. You lived a perfect life. You were sacrificed for me. You so loved the world, Father, that you sent your Son for me, for each one of us. And we have great need before you. In light of you, we're not anywhere close to perfect. We are unworthy, but you make us worthy by your blood, Lord Jesus. And I accept that. I accept you into my heart. I accept you, Lord Jesus, come into me, my heart. And thank you, and live there. Live there and be with me forever. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, the one who died for me. I thank you so much that you did that for me so many years ago, and that you continually to work with me, that you change me, that you transform by the renewing of my mind. And I look forward to your continued transformation even from now. I pray this in your glorious name. One of the things I will close with in this is this quote is from John Rice. This is the way Kris Kristofferson looks now. He did not say this quote. You can never truly enjoy Christmas until you can look up into the Father's face and tell him you've received his Christmas gift. So let's have the music team come up and we'll continue to sing. And if you have any other questions about this, please feel free to talk to me. We'll have some refreshments afterwards.